Over the course of this past week, there's been a bit of settling of the nerves that the US economy might be somewhere near recession. You know, that's what caused a lot of the ructions in financial markets going back the week before, when we had unemployment jumping to 4.3%. But the numbers, there weren't many of them over the course of the past week, but and nowhere near recession. We had the July ISM, non-manufacturing PMI, came out, and that one actually lifted from 48.8 to 51.4, so it's back into expansion territory. And then later in the week, we had the latest initial jobless claims, and they came down more than expected, much more than expected, down to 233,000 from 250,000 on revision the previous week. So they're getting down more into the territory, which suggests you're still going to get some reasonably good positive non-farm payroll reads over the course of the next few months. That whilst they may have slowed from the 200,000 plus, they're not going to be going too far below the 100,000 mark. And to prove recession, you really need those to be going sub-zero at some point to point to real recession risk. So some of that's faded over the course of the past week. This week, the attention turns back to inflation in the US, and we get the July CPI coming out. It comes out on Wednesday, and at this stage, it's expected to be a relatively low monthly increase, 0.2%, both for the headline CPI and also for the core CPI, taking out food and energy prices, both up 0.2%, the market thinks. And if that's what occurs, then the annual rate of change in the CPI in the US will come down to 2.9% year on year in July from 3% going back to June, and the core CPI will come down to 3.1 from 3.3. These are still well north of, obviously, the Fed's 2% target, but they're consistently working their way downwards. And as a result of that, yeah, it will still leave open a September rate cut, but it's a rate cut which doesn't need to be supersized to deal with recession, and is more to do with inflation coming down in a soft landing scenario rather than a hard landing. So it becomes somewhat more positive. It'll be problematic, obviously, if the CPI comes out too much stronger than expected, because you know, that may potentially delay what the Fed does going through to September. But it's unlikely at this stage. It seems as if it will come in around market expectation, maybe even a little bit lower. Now, looking at some of the other data beyond that, we'll get some of the local PMIs coming out, the New York Empire State Survey for the month of August. That one has got a negative sign on the front, but it's not expected to get much worse. So it was minus 6.6. It's expected to be minus 6 for the most recent reading for August. Philadelphia Fed survey comes out, and that one actually was positive last month. It jumped to plus 13.9 and still expected to be positive for the most recent month, plus 7, so that's actually reasonably good. We'll get retail sales coming out for the month of July, and they've been holding up relatively well. So back in June, they lifted by 0.3%. They're expected to lift another 0.3%, so nothing recession-like about those sorts of readings. And also core retail sales, they were up 0.4% going back to June, expected to be up about 0.1%, so not quite as strong as the headline, but yeah, still reasonably firm and still meaning that household consumption is contributing to US GDP growth. And incidentally on that, you know, we get a lot of trackers that come out from various of the Fed offices, and the Atlanta Fed tracker, for example, currently is running for Q3 at 2.9% annualized. So, again, nowhere near recession. You know, the next GDP, when it comes out, it won't be out till obviously late October, but it's looking still pretty good. We also get a fair number of housing indicators. These are a bit more mixed, and some of them have been quite soft. But we've got the National Association of Home Builders Index. If anything, that's expected to lift a little bit to 43 from 42. And we get July home building permits and housing starts. Oddly enough, back in June, these had pretty good increases. So June building permits were up 3.9% and housing starts were up 3%. They're expected to fall back a little bit, maybe 1% down for building permits and down 0.2 perhaps for housing starts. But you know, the run of these sorts of figures is suggesting that those fears we had, which were at their height going back just a bit over over a week ago, you know, really have been overdone. So if anything, things start to settle a bit on those sorts of numbers. Moving to the data out of China last week, well, we had the July cakes in services sector PMI. That was actually reasonably good. Came in at 52.1, up from 51.2. So it suggests that maybe the services sector is just a little bit firmer in China. But we also had trade data. It faded back a bit. So there was some hope that this would continue to improve. Going back to June, exports were up 8.6% year-on-year in China. It was hoping that would be near as a 10% for the month of July. It came in at 7%, so it actually drifted, it moderated a bit relative to where it was going back to June. So not quite so strong. The import side, though, was actually quite firm, up 7.2% year-on-year. That compared with minus 2.3% year-on-year. Yeah, maybe there's a hint in there that you know, demand is doing something in China, maybe a little bit firmer. And we had the inflation readings coming out of China, and of course these are still very low. The annual rate of inflation in China did lift, but it lifted to only 0.5% year-on-year from 0.2% year-on-year going back to June. And producer prices still falling and at roughly the same pace. So producer prices were down 0.8% year-on-year going back to June. They still fell 0.8% year-on-year in July. This week in China, later in the week, we get the usual run of monthly data, and you know, all of them are expected to soften off a little bit relative to last month, other than hopefully retail sales. But retail sales were so weak last month. So when we're looking at fixed asset investment spending, that's expected to go sideways, up 3.9% year-on-year, same as the month before. Industrial production just edged down to 5.2 from 5.3. And July retail sales, there's hope they might lift a little bit to 2.6% from 2 going back the previous month. But that one, you know, if China is to grow at 5% where it's hoped by the authorities, that has to lift nearer to 8, 9, or 10% year on year, and we're nowhere near it. It's still very, very soggy. You know, people are showing that they're not confident in the economic outlook in China by still continuing to save, or preferring to save rather than to spend. And the main reason for that is still the continuing problem running through the housing sector. We get house prices come out. They were down 4.5% year-on-year. This has been worsening every month over the last few months, and we may go to minus 5 or worse when we see the figure that comes out this week. So when that's happening to house prices, wealth is taking quite a big hit in China, and that's another factor which is making people say, look, we've just got to save a bit more for the future because it's not looking good. And so that's a problem that the Chinese authorities have still not got their head around and worked out what sort of stimulus they can provide to be able to jolt that back into stronger growth. Australia last week, well, obviously we had the RBA meeting, and they left the cash rate unchanged at 4.35%. No surprise there, but it was a pretty hawkish statement that came out with that, and also in the press conference that followed from Michelle Bullock. And also, of course, we had the latest quarterly monetary policy statement with all the Reserve Bank's latest forecasts, and it's pretty easy to see in those why the Reserve Bank is in no mood to think about cuts to interest rates. And indeed, when she was challenged on when there might be a possibility of interest rates coming down in some of the questioning, she said not for at least 6 months. That they still at the last meeting did actually talk about whether they should have hiked rates or not. The reasons for it come out loud and clear when you look at their latest forecasts relative to where they were sitting back in May. Since those last forecasts in May, they've actually revised up slightly economic growth, but for the wrong reasons. It's largely public demand or government spending growth which drove most of the revision upwards in their forecasts. So now they're looking at, for example, their last set of forecasts, they're expecting economic growth to run around 0.1% year on year. When we get the next June quarter GDP numbers out, they've revised that up to 0.9, and for the end of this year, it's revised that from 1.6 to 1.7. That doesn't sound like much of a big upward revision, but they've actually made worse their forecasts of business investment spending, so all of those have been revised lower. But public demand, to give an example, or government spending, they had that rising 1.7% year on year at the end of this year in their May forecast. That's been revised up to 4.3%. So it's not a wonder that they're prepared to go public and say, look, the government's just not pulling its weight in this in terms of bringing inflation down. It's all on us. And public spending is too strong. The other part about this is that we've got that demand growth, which is growing largely because it's being pushed by public spending, at a time when the outputs part of the economy is pretty soft. And there were some revisions downwards in terms of labour productivity. So previously, they expected labour productivity to lift about 0.9% year on year by the end of this year. They've revised that downwards to only 0.1%. So the potential supply in the economy is looking weaker at a time when they've had to revise up their forecast of aggregate demand. And the net result of that is that it now takes longer to get inflation back inside target consistently. They were looking at getting inflation back inside target by the end of 2025. That now goes all the way out to the second half of 2026 before they can get inflation consistently inside target. And there is one blip in that, in that they bring the consumer price index under 3 briefly for the middle of 2025 because of those various support measures that the government put in place. But they're temporary, and they flip back out, and the inflation rate goes back up again when they've got their forecast for December 2025. So, these forecasts suggest that, you're going to have to at least see another couple of quarters of economic data before the Reserve Bank can possibly think that they're getting ahead of the task again in terms of getting inflation down. And there's a problem with the government spending too much in the meantime. And so this is where there is no hope that the cash rate will be any lower than 4.35% through to the remainder of this year. And quite likely it's going to take quite a while into next year before there's any hope of the cash rate coming down. So that's the implication that came through from everything that the Reserve Bank said over the course of last week. Moving to this week, of course we're going to be watching all the indicators to see if any of this can change at all. We have got some fairly important ones coming out this week. We get a lot of the sentiment indicators coming out from business, like the NAB, business conditions, business confidence. They were at plus 4 each going back to June. They expect to be around that again, so they're not too bad. Westpac consumer sentiment, pretty soft. That was down 1.1% last month. Probably won't be any higher this month. But then we get the second quarter wage price index, and we also get the July labour force data coming out on Thursday. As far as the second quarter wage price index is concerned, that looks as if it'd be up 0.9%, which is 4% year on year. That compares with 4.1% going back the quarter before. If it drifts back a little like that, well, it's sort of okay, but you know, the Reserve Bank has said that can't even tolerate 4% wage growth now because productivity is still so low. So it's just not coming back quickly enough if it happens to be lower than that. Maybe it'll be a little bit more optimistic, but I doubt that that's going to happen given the way in which wage settlements are running. And the labour force data on Thursday. Well, you know, last month we had a big lift in employment again, 50,200. Market's looking for 26,500 for the month of July, still pretty big. And the unemployment rate holding at 4.1%, same as the month before. Yeah, we'd have to see quite significant lift in the unemployment rate to really make much difference to Reserve Bank thinking, and it's just not happening for the time being. Then moving to Europe, and last week we had Centix investor confidence came out. That's actually deteriorated a bit to minus 13.9 from minus 7.3, so that's actually quite soft. We also had June producer prices came out. These are actually a little bit firmer than expected. They were expected to be up 0.1% month on month. They're up 0.5%. So still that trickle of inflation pressure running in Europe. And we had June retail sales, which were a bit of a disappointment. They were down 0.3% after being up 0.1%. So if anything, those are just slightly on the softer side of where things were expected. This week in Europe, we get Q2 GDP. It's expected to be unchanged from the first estimate, which was 0.3% quarter on quarter, 0.6% year on year. So there is some growth there in Europe, but yeah, not a lot. As for other central banks who will be doing anything this week, we've got the RBNZ meeting later this week too. They're expected to leave their cash rate unchanged at 5.5%, and that's notwithstanding the fact that they've got some much higher unemployment rate than we have here. They've got a similar problem with stickiness of inflation, and so that's compromising what they can do. And the other thing worth watching this week is an awful lot of companies here are reporting, so that'll give us a feel for how profits have been running. And at this stage, probably not too bad at this point. And another one of those factors which is probably going to be supportive as far as at least risk assets are concerned through the course of this week.